Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Now, I love being home in this place where Ann and I were raised, where both of us were born. Ann was born at Henry Ford Hospital. I was born at Harper Hospital. No one's ever asked to see my birth certificate. They know that this is the place that we were born and raised.
All right, folks, get ready. Hold on to your socks and your shoes. Tonight
and your guns.
Tonight is going to be a night. It is Reese on the radio, and we are live as we are every night. It's the end of the week. First, let me say I hope everybody has a great weekend. I hope that everybody checks out the Republican National Convention this weekend. I will be on it like a hornet. I will be on everything that happens, and we will come with a full report on Monday, especially Dinesh D'Souza's about to be reported number one movie of the weekend, 2016 Obama's America. There are reports coming out that that's going to be the box office smash of the weekend. Mike from Florida went to go see the film this early afternoon. He'll have a full report on that. I'm sure that we'll try to see it this weekend, and we'll have a report as well. Well,
we won't be able to see it this weekend.
Okay.
Your sister and Liam will be here. We won't be able to.
But I will definitely get to see it this weekend. I don't care what anybody says. I'm seeing it. So.
No, he's not.
It's Reese on the radio. We're live. It is August the 24th, 2012. As you may have heard on our show today, in a commercial-free Reese on the radio, we will have the national spokesperson of the new Black Panther Party, Mr. Sean Qualley. He will be calling. He's already sent out his Facebook posting, letting everybody know that he's going to be live on the air. He's telling people across the country to get on the phone so that they can come after me, or I don't know if they can come after me. I don't think that's quite possible. But he says that he is going to bring the fire. He has said he is planning on bringing it. He wants everyone to call in and bring their support. Let me explain this to you before you decide to call, because I want to make this abundantly clear. I don't care if you call. I don't care if you call me an Uncle Tom. I don't care if you call me a race traitor. I don't care what name you call me. But I will tell you this. I will not hang up on you. I will just put you on hold if you cannot be consistent. And that is, you speak, you let another person speak. You speak, you let another person speak. If you can't control yourself and behave like a normal human being, F you. And I'll just put you on hold and you can listen in for the rest of the show. But I expect you. I don't care if you're disrespectful. That means nothing to me. Just prepare for the fire. Because I don't give two damns about the Black Power movement in that regard, as far as you making threats and making all those claims and comments. That means nothing to me. I know you've got no real ability to go out there with guns blazing. So please do not come here with the rah-rah, as they say in the hood. I'm not interested. Okay? Come in and have a conversation about where it is that you're coming from. You want Whitey dead? Explain yourself. You want to kill all the Whiteys and blow up their babies? Explain yourself. Have the courage to do so. Have the conviction. That's all I ask from you, Black brothers and sisters, calling in here, is come in here and have conviction in your statements. Nobody fears you. The intimidation will not work. The raising of the voice, the cursing and the talking about how many guns you have do not impress me. They do not affect me in any particular way. You want to have a conversation? Have a conversation. If you're not interested in conversing with me, stay the F off the line. And go on about your business. Go put in a Pootie Man or whatever movie you watch that makes you feel good about yourself. I just want to let you know that we don't tolerate here. So make sure when you get on the phones, you are prepared for the fire and the heat and the vitriol. Now, I'm just looking for this thing that Sean Qualley put up on the Facebook page. If you give me a second here, he wrote to his followers and the people who are in his group, in his congregation, that he is going to be on Recenter Radio today. He is alerting people. Last minute, I have to say, I don't know why he's waiting so long to tell people that he's going to be on the show, but he is out there sharing this with people that he's going to be on the show. And I hope that he will be here to talk about some of the claims being made by members of his group. Well, I think the posting has since been put down. Has that been taken down? Oh, I find that rather suspect, Mr. Qualley. But don't worry, I won't hold it against you. I'm sure that you are, you know, you have every intention of honoring your commitment to be on this show and to talk about the issues that have been raised by the new Black Panther Party, and you will stand by what it is that you have to say. I guess the posting's been taken down. I'm looking at it now. It is no longer here.
I'll tell you, because I've got him on my Facebook page.
Oh, do you? Well, you can check your Facebook page. It's no longer here. It featured clearly on the site, on Facebook.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a Facebook message.
You have an alert.
Oh.
Okay, let's see what the message says.
Okay, Mr. Qualley sent me a message, and he will be calling in at 8:15.
Okay, so 8:15, he will be on the show. He has sent, so he's the gentleman who called in a 502 number. Okay, great. So he was on the line. He will be calling back. So I guess the best way to put this is in the next 8 minutes, Mr. Sean Qualley will be on the phone with us. He will be live. I know some people are calling up. Okay, we got some people calling out in the Virginia area. I want you on the air. I want you to be able to communicate with me. We are going to talk about everything that has been said by the new Black Panther Party. Most importantly, we are going to be playing the audio from the new Black Panther Party, and I would like them to address the audio. I want them to address the audio that was placed by, I believe his name is King Shabazz, the audio by Michelle Williams. I wish for them to address that. Michelle Williams, who was on our show, at least in a phone call. Okay, you do have it. All right. It's still up there.
Yeah, nobody deleted anything from Facebook. It's still there.
Okay.
You just have to go. You either have to be friends with the new Black, with Sean Qualley from the new Black Panther Party, or you could see it on their page if you're not a friend of theirs.
Right. Okay. So Michelle Williams, who was on our show, who made some very, very vitriolic statements regarding the Trayvon Martin shooting, and then turned around, and when confronted by the white news media, the people who she claimed that she could not stand, the pink people, the white people, the white devils, was then on the white man's TV and doing this.
And my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melody. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The chief of staff of the...
We can't have any more killings. She was quite contrite after those statements. She is on tape. She is on the news, contrite about her statements about killing people, and now saying we can't have no more killing. And then she is on another tape later on talking about the GOP convention. And people are talking about killing white babies, for crying out loud. Now, I have Queen Sheba, who is a supporter of Sean Qualley. She wants to get on the line with a question. We have a couple of minutes before Sean Qualley gets on the phone. Queen Sheba, and I will respect you by your name, ma'am. How can I help you, and what is your question? Welcome to Reese on the Radio.
I was waiting for brother Sean Qualley to get up there.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you have a question to ask when Sean Qualley is on the show?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're a supporter. You don't have a question now. You're just waiting for him to join.
Yes.
Okay, that's no problem. I appreciate it. Well, Queen Sheba, please stay on the line. We will bring you in, Is there a particular time we'd like to, would you like to be brought in? Is there a particular question or line of questioning you'd like to be brought in on? Because since you'll be on hold, I won't know when you'll need to be put on.
I'm going to listen, and then I just hit, once you hit that 1-1 to come in to talk.
Okay, no, I understand what you're saying, Queen Sheba. What I'm saying is that you said you have a question. Can you tell me what topic matter it is? So if that topic comes up, I can definitely go to you.
My topic is, but I have to address that to Brother Swan Sali, because you wouldn't have that answer.
Okay, no problem. All right, well, you know what? We'll play it by ear, Queen Sheba.
And all right.
We'll just put you in where we deem appropriate. So I appreciate the people calling in. Now, again, as I said, and I made this abundantly clear, excuse me, Mr. Sean Qualley in the beginning, because of the way that I speak, my syntax, I am often described as an Uncle Tom. Obviously, most niggas have never read Uncle Tom. Because if they knew, they know who Uncle Tom is, and they know that Uncle Tom is a hero. Now, bottom line is, No. Nobody's going to change the way that I speak here. Most people know that about Uncle Tom. They know the truth about Uncle Tom. So when people start talking about whether or not I'm an Uncle Tom, I always revert back to this audio.
If anyone wants to call someone an Uncle Tom, first read the book. Uncle Tom was a heroic figure. Uncle Tom stood up against the Democrat Simon Legree, who wanted to enslave those people. He stood up and he fought, and he was willing to die for freedom. So anyone who wants to call me or any other African American an Uncle Tom doesn't know what they're talking about, because you don't know what an Uncle Tom is. You're a Sambo, you're a Quimbo, you're working for the Democrats, that's the party of slavery, and you're continuing the enslavement of our people.
So just to make sure that gets off right from the get-go, if anybody wants to start talking about Uncle Tom, you don't know your history, you will get called out on it. Back off that. Secondly, I don't speak for the white man. I don't speak for any white man. In fact, I speak for Reese. And Reese is the realest you're going to get on this microphone. Yes, there are others who claim to be real, but we know that that's a lot of persona and hyperbole. I am the realest on this microphone because the way that I speak on this microphone is not a caricature of who I am. This is an honest response to the things in the world. So when you hear me talk about things, this is the way that I really feel. I'm not looking for the outrageous. I'm not looking to be outrageous. I'm not trying to titillate you. I'm doing what they do in the hood as far as they're concerned, keeping it real. I am no kowtow for homosexuals. I do not believe in gay marriage like your president. I do not believe in illegal immigration like your president. I do not care about affirmative action like your president. I do not care about Negroes in the hood shooting each other and killing each other and then asking for equal rights. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in screaming and hollering how the white man is killing us day to day while black boys and black girls are beating the crap out of each other just because they dare to be different. I don't stand for that. I stand for individualism. I stand for belief in oneself. I don't kowtow to rhetoric. Especially idiotic rhetoric, especially socialist or communist rhetoric. I am an American. I believe in the flag. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that the Constitution protects me from my government. I believe in a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. It is from liberalism and communism and socialism. That's what I believe in. Just to set that straight while all of the followers of the new Black Panther Party are on the line. Now let's get into this, because it is time. Do we have him on the line? I think that's his number.
He's on.
JC? Well, okay, JC is prepping him. He's going to put him on the line. It's 8:15. So now that we understand each other, ladies and gentlemen, when you get on the phone, please understand what my position is. I'm not going to put you in your place, but if you're just joining us, make sure that you understand. I am not kidding here. I won't hang up on you. I'll just put you on hold. You let one person speak, you answer the question. You don't filibuster. We don't need to hear all of that rah, 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 speak, speak, speak stuff that we'll see most of those people do. You get on the line and you defend your position, and you do it succinctly. It's Reese on the Radio. Again, welcome to the show. I appreciate it. I hope I got some permanent listeners. If not, a couple of people who just want to come on in and hang out from time to time. I believe that this gentleman on the phone is Mr. Sean Qualley. Let's get him in here. Mr. Sean Qualley.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, sir. Welcome to the show and welcome back as usual.
Appreciate you having me black on.
Yeah, please say hello to the woman who made this all possible. Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
All right, Mary, we appreciate you. Thank you for having us on, most definitely. And JC
Thank
as well. Appreciate it, the whole staff. We know
Thank
it's not a one-man show.
thank you very much for accepting our invitation. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Mr. Sean Qualley, let's get into this, my friend. You know, you and I, we got a little personal beef about your comments about a good friend of mine, Mr. Andrew Breitbart, who has passed away. We won't get into that now, but I'll be happy to handle that with you at the end of the show because we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. Let's get into this. There are people within your organization who are on your show here on blogtalkradio.com who said, and I quote, that we needed to start killing white babies and pulling white people out of their houses. Sir, in the sense of all that can possibly be honest, does the new Black Panther Party stand behind these comments by King Chavez?
The new Black Panther Party stands behind the comments in context. And for those who are listening, I'd have to say that you have to hear the entire interview, right, as the host said, Reese said, on blogtalkradio.com, / Freedom of Death, Black Power Radio. The comments were made by National Field Marshal, Minister King Samir Shabazz, who is no stranger to the controversies and no stranger to the spotlight. But I would encourage everybody to hear it in context because the course of the conversation was about self-defense. This is the piece that is not being said by Breitbart.com, not being said by TheBlaze.com or anyone of our detractors. The talk was told where it was said in straight self-defense. Let me just be straight out. And the conversation was about the amount of massive murder that has taken place of black life at the hands of police officers and at the hands of white racists and white supremacists, white power Nazis, and self-appointed vigilantes. There was a study that came out by the Malcolm X grassroots movement that talked to this fact, that talked about every 40 hours in America, a black life was killed. And so in that context, Minister King Samir Shabazz described how black men, because of the trauma of slavery, and the effects of that terrorism, that black men were afraid to stand up. Black men and in particular also black women were afraid to defend themselves. We didn't have the kind of men who would do what you saw in Texas, where they drug James Byrd behind a pickup truck in defense of what they believe. We don't have the kind of people who did what happened in Newberry, South Carolina, to Anthony Hill in defense of what they believe. We don't have those kinds of people, Brother Reese. We don't have those. And so what he said was that there has to be the development of a military that will defend the black man and the black woman. That's what he said.
Mr. Qualley, I'm going to play the audio, and it is spliced. I will admit that. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right, and the audio will prove that yes, Mr. King Shabazz does say that we need to form our own black army, so to speak. But you cannot deny, if you believe that King Shabazz is saying that we need to defend ourselves, please explain to me how in this audio, in his own words, He says we need to start killing those black babies 2 or 3 minutes after they're born. These are his words. Do not respond yet. I want you to hear the audio, and please explain.
Right here.
To go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the goddamn bridge to Lawrenceville and drag some of these goddamn rusty, dusty-ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, drag them up and down the street by goddamn trucks, stick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the goddamn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We're just too goddamn scared for any of these type of maneuvers, brother. So what had to happen is the new Black Panther Party has decided that we have to now create a military that's really going to represent the entire organization as a whole. But hell, we're going to have to get out in these goddamn streets. And as I said on National Geographic, I said it, goddamn it, if you want to be free, you're going to have to get out here and kill some of these goddamn peckerwoods. You're going to have to kill some of these babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the goddamn nursery and just throw a damn bomb in the damn nursery and kill everything white in sight that ain't white. It's self-defense, Black Timber.
Now, tell me how killing babies 3 seconds out the womb is self-defense, Mr. Quality. Those
we
are
have
his
to
start, words, sir.
Go right ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
And not only that, he reiterated that he said the same words on National Geographic. So he says, yes, I said it. He is defiant. He said,
well, he said something different on National Geographic, but I understand what the brother's saying. Again, what the black man is saying in those what you call defiant words is said in self-defense. And in particular, he said some. Let me not even go semantics with you on that and play word games, which I'm saying straight out that war is ugly, sir. They're quick to talk about, and you're quick to talk about this so-called killing of babies. But we're talking in rhetorical sense. This has not happened. This isn't something that you can pin to Minister King, Samir Shabazz, and say he's done it, and you can't pin it to any member of the new Black Panther Party. None of us, sir, have a track record of murder, killing, or maiming any white man or white woman in the hells and smells of North America. And if you got that evidence, then present your facts. What he's talking about, again, sir, is self-defense in warfare. Talk about the black babies that have been killed over plenty of time in history, and even recently with Sister Ayanna Jones and others. Talk about the black babies that were used like alligator bait. Talk
Mr.
about
Pauline.
The black babies,
Mr.
sir,
Pauline.
That were cut from the womb, the pregnant
Mr.
womb
Pauline.
Of the black woman and stomped on. Talk
Mr.
about
Pauline.
Those.
Listen, I got to stop you. See, this is exactly what I did when I said at the beginning of the show.
But you got to let me make my point.
No. Because you want to, let me explain to you why. The context of this conversation for the 2 hours that we are giving you is that Mr. Sean Qualley, and as a spokesperson of the new Black Panther Party, was dealing with the headlines that have come your way about your organization. I understand you want to talk about other issues about that, but I'll be honest with you. There will
sir,
be
that's
no
not another issue.
There will be no. You're absolutely right. Those are other issues. If you
hey,
wish to address them,
well, excuse me, that's not another issue. That's
no,
in
no,
the context
no, no. Yes,
of my answer to your question.
It's another issue because as we expressed and as we sent out our press release today, that we were going to be addressing the issues made by people like King Shabazz and people
absolutely.
Like Michelle Williams. And those are the questions we're going to deal with. Not that those...
Let me say something to you, Brother Reese. In addressing Minister King, Samir Shabazz, that is exactly why I'm pointing to you what I'm pointing to you, because the reasoning, see, nobody wants to talk about the reasoning why Minister King, Samir Shabazz is saying what he's saying. The reasoning why Minister King, Samir Shabazz is saying what he's saying is because he's looking at a historical atrocity and a present atrocity. You can't brush it under the rug, sir.
Well, you know what? I'm not pushing it under the rug, Mr. Qualley. I'm not pushing this under the rug. Please understand that I'm not doing that. What I'm trying to do here is trying to establish a conversation with you about the comments that have gained headlines that you are now supposed to put into context. Now, all of those other issues are relevant, and I will not dispute that they are relevant, that King Shabazz, or Samir Shabazz, as you say, I'm not disputing the fact that he said them, and they should be taken in its full context. You
all right, well, let's
them?
Keep moving.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. Let's go into Michelle Williams. Let's get into Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams talked to me on the phone. We did a phone interview. I played it on the show during the Trayvon Martin case when it was at the height of notoriety. That story has since died. She got on the local television station, and then she pretty much was very contrite. I wouldn't say begging for forgiveness, but she changed her tune. These were her words, not mine.
And my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The Jesus.
And then after that, would appear on the Black Power show for the new Black Panther Party, and then say
Black
this.
Power to all the haters, to all the haters, to all the haters, to all the wannabes, to all the white folks who are pissed off, who are going to stay pissing off. If you don't like what I'm saying, if you're afraid that I'm going to speak the truth, if you're mad because I'm speaking the truth, I encourage you right now to hang up the damn phone, because this is no place for any baby sucking titties right now this evening. We bought straight power. We bought the evolutionary. We bought the revolutionary of the black community. If you can't handle the truth, get out the kitchen, okay? Straight coming out. I'm not even going to hold no punches. He said the brother already gave you the introduction or who's going to be on the phone call. We're going to talk straight, deliberate hatred that the Republican National Party has for the black people in the state of Florida happening right now. In the city of Tampa, we are under siege by the Republican National Convention, headers of this collective-minded group of white people, Tea Partiers, Tea Baggers, people who hate black people. We are under...
What happened, Sean Qualley? I thought this woman was on TV with a white woman, blonde hair, blue-eyed white woman, talking about...
In my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue.
How am I supposed to take this broad seriously, my man? How am I supposed to take y'all seriously?
You're supposed to take her as serious as you would if you were going through anything emotional. Sister Michelle Williams... Strong, beautiful, bold Sister Michelle Williams, our chief of staff in Tampa, was responding in the first audio clip for the radio listening audience, responding to the first radio clip for our brother who was killed at the hands of George Zimmerman, 17 years old, Brother Trayvon Martin. And she was emotional. She was sad. And as you clearly heard her say, she did not want to see any more killing. And if her words were to be used against her at this time, then let that be her time. Nothing wrong with a black woman showing emotion for her little brother who was killed, stalked down there in Sanford, Florida. Nothing at all. In the second clip, Sister Michelle Williams is talking about the conditions of her city. And what she's saying and what she went on to say in the broadcast was that the city of Tampa was being locked down, and there appeared to be a very heavy harassment of black youth and black people in the community. That's why she said what she said. And she said, as long as you have those that hate black people, and she went on to say those in a clip that you did not play, that continue to call us niggas and do things to us, that she would keep her foot on their necks.
Okay, so the Republican Party is the party that is calling black people niggas? Where's your proof of that, sir?
Let me say this.
Let me be balanced. Let me be balanced to you because we have been
the same on both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
That's not what
and
I
if you
asked
listen
you,
to
sir.
The complete audio
not
again,
what I asked you. Tell me the history of a Republican, because I can name you plenty of Democrats. She's talking specifically about the Republican Party and the GOP. I would like to know one specific party platform that ever referred to black people, even in her area of Tampa, referred to them as niggas, because I can name plenty of Democrats and people in the Democratic Party, like Senator Robert Byrd. Huh? Like Senator Robert Byrd. Like Strom Thurmond.
Go right ahead. I'm not going to cut you off.
Okay. Like Strom Thurmond. Yeah, the one you guys keep alleging is Republican was a Democrat. How about Senator Robert Byrd, a former Kleagle of the Ku Klux Klan? Obama went to his goddamn funeral. Okay? Former Grand Marshal of the Ku Klux Klan.
What is your point,
Klan.
Sir?
My point
what
is
your point?
You
what
said,
is your point?
She said that she is against the GOP who calls them niggas.
Okay.
And I want to hear where the Republicans have been calling you niggas.
Okay. Now, I mean, it's clear. It's been all in the headlines. You got one, for example. I talked about him the other day, Rick Santorum. That's all in the headlines. About him calling blacks niggas and Obama a nigger. All right. I'm just saying. What you're trying to do is escape over the issue. The point that we're saying here right now is that Sister Michelle Williams has a right to have emotion and be emotional about the condition of her people. That's what we're saying.
Mr. Kweli.
Yes.
It's Mary. Mary, why are you bugging?
Hey,
so,
don't bug on me.
I'm not going to bug on you. I very rarely do. I mean, we kind of have a good, we're good conversationalists together. So anyway,
right.
My question is, Rick Santorum is not even going to be at the Republican convention. He's not even going to be there. Okay,
that wasn't the question. The question he wanted me to name a name.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to make that statement. I want to make that clear that this particular person that you are speaking about is not even going to be in Tampa, Florida, for the convention. He won't be there. Okay, and that's been all over the news. Now, she says something in reference to the Republican National Convention and the GOP is that black people in Tampa are under siege. She uses the word siege, that they are under siege. Are there Republicans out in the street in Tampa, Florida, just running rampant, locking up black kids and locking up, beating up black people and just terrorizing black people? Is that what's going on? Because when you say that black people in Tampa are under siege, I mean, it's like there has to be a war going on there. There must be Republicans running around everywhere just going crazy all black people. I've been to Tampa, Mr. Kweli, and I was there just recently. And seemed like a pretty nice place. I mean, I considered moving there, as a matter of fact.
Your experience, Mary, with all respect due, your experience in Tampa has nothing to do with the experience that Sister Michelle Williams has experienced and what she goes through on a daily and consistent basis organizing there.
Are under siege, that the Republican National Convention, the Republicans are to blame for that. That black people are under siege. Don't you think that if black people are under siege,
that's not what she said.
This just started happening. When did black people go under siege?
That's not what she said. She talked about the GOP. She talked about those who hate black people and those who call us the word nigger. She didn't just leave it at the Republican Party.
Mr. Kweli, Mitt Romney never called anybody a nigger.
What is your point?
The VP never called anybody a nigger. So who in the Republican Party is going around calling black people niggers?
And see, again, you all are doing what you're asking me. You're taking her words out of context. She did not say that it was specific people in the Republican Party. She talked about the racists within the GOP. She said those who hate black people. That is not just left with the Republican Party. There are those in the Democratic Party and other parties that hate black people. And she mentioned as well the Tea Party. You all are playing semantics with me right now.
No, okay, well, let's not play semantics then. It's apparent that the new Black Panther Party's position when it comes to politics or when it comes to GOP or be it the Democrats, I understand their position. They believe that the black people are under siege and they use this metaphorically. Is that fair to say, Mr. Kweli?
That's not fair to say because it's not a metaphor. Black people have been if you're talking about opposition, black people have been under siege for over 400 years. So we're not talking about a metaphor. We're talking about a systematic order of destruction.
Okay, all right. Now, I'm only going to ask you, Mr. Quali, I understand how it is that you do business. A lot of your angst, you're very verbose. I understand that. And you have a lot of long answers. I want to make this.
In your opinion.
No. I'm not saying that as an insult. That wasn't an insult. Relax. What I'm saying verbose is, you talk and you speak well, and your answers are generally long. What I'm saying is I want to keep this as short. I'm going to do a back and forth with you if I can without doing long speeches.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I'm just saying we got to keep the context of what's going on. Right?
I understand that. Then fine. Let's deal with some other issues, okay? Let's deal with some other issues. The new Black Panther Party has been completely denounced by the members of the former Black Panther Party. Do you wish to address the, I want to say the disagreement, for lack of a better word, with the original Black Panther members, even though you appear as a new Black Panther Party group to embrace those ideals with a little bit of radicalism by some people's
opinion.
How do you feel about the condemnation of the new Black Panther Party by the original Black Panther Party?
Well, again, that's such a beautiful question, and I appreciate your question. Let me give a real context as best I can for the listening audience that we do not in the new Black Panther Party say original Black Panther Party for a number of reasons, but in specific because the Black Panther movement itself did not start October 15th, 1966 with Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton or our comrade Bobby Seale. It did not begin there. The movement of the Black Panther began in America in Lowndes County, Alabama, as early as 1962 underneath a man who has gone on now, transcended and left this world's life underneath Kwame Ture, Brother Bob Brown, Mukasa Ricks, and some others. That's where it began. It's proven fact. It's history. It's even up on the website, newblackpanther.com. You can read it. We put it in something called a New Black Panther Manifesto. We give you the full and complete history from point A to point B to where we are today. The members that you're talking about, sir, are in an organization that is known as the Huey P. Newton Foundation. And to be clear, the Huey P. Newton Foundation has respected members of the Black Panther Party in it from the 1966 formation, but they are not the total Black Panther Party. And to be even more clear, the Black Panther Party itself, in large part due to the counterintelligence program of the United States government, was fractionalized and split itself. You had some members of the Black Panthers who believed in black nationalism as they began in 1966 as students of Minister Malcolm X. You had others who went to believe in socialism. You had others who went to believe in a communist society, others who believed in what Huey P. Newton called revolutionary intercommunalism. All right? And so it was fractionalized ideologically. Ultimately, we don't have any beef with any Panthers. We're not doing the Eldridge Cleaver Huey P. Newton thing or the David Hilliard versus whoever thing. We're not doing that. We love and honor. Those are our elders, and we respect them. We just understand that since the Black Panther movement had been militarily defeated and destroyed, sir, that there has been a period of time that took place where the black community sunk into a deeper hole than what was here in 1966, and we had to pick up the mantle in 1989 and respond. And here we are as the students of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, under the leadership of Dr. Malik Shabazz, the new Black Panther Party.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for that history lesson.
You're welcome. Let
me ask you again so that everyone is absolutely clear. I know it's the Huey P. Newton Foundation who is responding to this, okay? But I'm going to read this to you. It says, in response from numerous requests from individuals seeking information on the new Black Panthers, the Huey P. Newton Foundation issues this public statement to correct the distorted record being made in the media by a small band of African Americans calling themselves the New Black Panthers. As guardian of the true history of the Black Panther Party, The foundation, which includes former leading members of the party, denounces this group's exploitation of the party's name and history. Failing to find its own legitimacy in the black community, this ban would graft the party's name upon itself, which we condemn. Now, this is not just, I mean, if you are going to say that the Huey P. Newton Foundation, which is in the essence of the Black Panther Party, I mean, it's literally of that
tradition and that formation. There were about four formations of the Black Panther Party. Go right ahead.
Okay, but my question is that this type of denouncement delegitimizes the new Black Panther Party?
Not at all. Not at all. Let me respond to that. Not at all. Let me finish. It's kind of hard to hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. When I say that it delegitimizes them, okay, in a lot of ways because the Black Panther Party, although in a lot of ways very radical in the 60s and 70s, what is known by this particular organization and what it is that's being said by this particular group, like King Shabazz and Michelle Williams, that it is a radicalization of the tenets of the Black Panther Party. And a denouncement like this, and with the negative press that comes with the new Black Panther Party today, by whomever it is that you see fit, that in a lot of ways hurts your cause.
Okay, let me answer you.
Sure,
you,
please.
Can I respond?
Yes, no, please.
All right. You state that as if the Black Panther Party of that generation had great positive press. The Black Panther Party, sir and ma'am and those listening, the Black Panther Party was vilified in that day. When the Black Panthers that you talk about so admirably and that we love, when they went and did a simple act like protesting legally the protest of the Mulford Act, it was said the next day in the newspaper that black radicals, black militants stormed the Capitol. The Black Panther Party was not loved in that day, so they were called the greatest internal threat to the national security of the United States of America. You do not get that title.
By J. Edgar Hoover himself.
You do not get that title by passing out Coke hats and just breakfast.
You are
they were
absolutely
radical. They
right
were revolutionary. And I'm on this last point that Bobby Seals said his aim and desire for the Black Panthers was to form an army and to stand them up and to march them on the big power structure and to say, stick them up, we're coming back for what's ours.
Fair
That's
enough.
Radical.
Mr. Quali, I appreciate that. But now I've got to go back to Malik Shabazz now.
Come right on.
Now, this is the reason why I have to bring it back to that, okay? So the Huey P. Newton Foundation has denounced you. And those members who are part of the group.
And we denounce whoever wrote that letter, but it should be love
Fair
now.
Enough.
They haven't even, let me say this, they haven't even wrote a new letter. That's an old letter.
I understand
that's
an old letter, but that's because they believe that the issue is over. But let me say this, they don't need a new letter. They've made their claim and they're sticking to it. So I'm going to ask you this. So the people at the Huey P. Newton Foundation, in the words of Malik Shabazz, and don't think that I don't know him, sir. I did radio in New York, and I met the man. So I'm
All
not
right.
some I'm
you're,
not
you're
some
a lucky
punk.
Man.
I'm not some punk who doesn't know what he's talking about. I did New York
Wonderful.
Radio, and I was with Malik Shabazz during Harlem Week. So I want to let
stuff.
People know I know the man. Okay, I knew the man. So I'm going to say this: then it is fair to say that the people of the Huey P. Newton Foundation, in the words of Malik Shabazz, are Uncle Toms, right? They are shilling for the white man, aren't they? Shilling for the white man's support, aren't they? Because that's what Malik Shabazz would have said, because that's what he said to me.
Okay, well, what's wrong with those statements? If I just talk to you about how radical the Black Panthers were, you got a statement in there where they're talking about they were never black militants against the racist power structure, something to that effect. That letter absolutely paints them in the picture, those who they like to paint in that picture, as if they were some kind of utopian organization. But let me say this, even on that, right now, and especially then, when they were organizing, Huey P. Newton was organizing, Bobby Seale was organizing, if a white person went to go to join up to the Black Panther Party, they could not join up. It was a black organization for black people, same as we are, a black organization for black people. And their stances were strong, bold, and revolutionary. And so if they try to paint the picture like it was some type of utopian, euphoric, rainbow blossom picture, that's not the right picture. They were students of Malcolm X. They were revolutionaries. They were strugglers. They understood the politics of the world and organized for black self-determination.
Okay, fine. Now, that being said, I understand that you spoke for Mr. King Shamir Shabazz on his statements about killing, you know, white babies, and I should have taken that into context. But I believe we have Minister King Shamir Shabazz on the phone. I'm going to bring him into our conversation and have him explain his context to us himself. Is that all right?
All right, let him explain. He's the best man to tell you.
All right, folks, in a commercial-free Risa on the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com, on the phone with us now, the man who is in the middle of a large controversy by many, or called by many as a large controversy, Minister King Shamir Shabazz. Thank you for joining Risa on the radio, sir.
Black power.
Okay. Now, look, I've seen the pictures of you with the guns. I know the video of you outside the Philadelphia voting booth, a polling place. I know that Eric Holder refused to press any charges against you because, of course, you know, they don't do anything against, you know, black people because of racial tension. I understand all that. But, sir, more importantly to me and my listeners, I want to know, what was the context of talking about killing white babies 3 seconds out of the womb, sir? What are we to understand in that statement?
Well, it is the same as in context of your ancestors, sir, killing black people before they were even born out of the womb.
I'm a black man, sir. Slow that down.
Oh, well, sound mighty white to me, but
well,
that's neither here nor there.
Let me rephrase my statement.
Let me rephrase my statement then. It is the same exact way white people, okay, and their ancestors have killed black children before they were even born out of the womb. It is the same context, sir.
King Shabazz.
What is good for the goose is good for the cracker.
Minister Shabazz, let me make sure that I make this abundantly clear. Okay? I know you didn't hear the beginning of the show. I know that the way that I speak and my syntax causes people to assume things about me. But don't do that to yourself, sir. I don't play those games. Now, I'm going to allow you to address... No, I don't play those games. I will allow you to address the issue, but don't talk to me about 400 years ago. Talk to me about your statement,
really?
Sir. Yes.
Okay, well, the root of my statement, sir, is not 400 years ago, to be right and exact. The root of my statement, sir, goes back to 583 years ago.
Okay.
And it's still going on in 2012, because every time I could look on the internet, read a newspaper, or just see somewhere on Hell Eyes Vision that a black child is being murdered by the hands of this city's police department, this state police department, or this military, or that left or right wing white supremacist organization, then this is the same process as continuing, sir. So why is it every time a black man stands up to give white people what they truly deserve, and it's just not talk. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is real live action that we're dealing with here, sir. So you can't just base what I say on just what I say. You got to look at the processes of what caused King Samir to be the way that he is when it comes to white people.
All right, we're on
the
phone.
Hold on, white people, sir.
So listen, we're on the phone with Minister King Shamir Shabazz, the person who is at the forefront of the controversy of comments talking about dragging white people out of their homes and killing white babies 3 seconds out of the womb. So let's deal with what it is that you said. You've made your point about 535 years. I'm going to ask a direct question.
It's 582 years, sir. Let's be exact here.
Okay, 586 years. So I'm going to ask you again to be direct with me. Your comments, are they taken out of context, or are you suggesting that a new Black Panther Party army should take arms, drag white people out of their homes, and kill their white babies 3 seconds out of the womb Is that in context taken the right way, or are you speaking metaphorically? How exactly are we to take your words? Is that what it is that you mean? Is that what you were calling on people to do, yes or no?
Well, when it comes to the white man's media, sir, anything the new Black Panther Party says is always taken out of context. What I said was in self-defense for liberation and freedom and independence for black people, again, in self-defense. And I clearly stated during that radio show, I am not enticing or inciting anyone to go out here and attack anyone. I spoke specifics, and that's just what it is. There's nothing else pretty much to be said about it.
Okay. Mary,
okay. Mr. Shabazz, first of all, I am a white woman. So, cracker, whatever,
wow.
However you want to refer to me, don't matter. I'm not offended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand where, okay, you're talking about things that happened, you know, 586 years ago or whatever, but where is this happening today? And if,
it's happening right in every black neighborhood. It's happening in white neighborhoods. It's happening all across America. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's happening in Japan. It's happening in many, many, many parts. If not all of Africa, it's happening in Europe. It's happening right here in the state of New Jersey. It's happening in Pennsylvania. What do you mean?
Wait.
Okay, Mr. Shabazz, wait a minute. Okay, so what you're saying is, or what you're proposing, is that black people are under siege across the world. Just
absolutely.
Black people everywhere. Everybody just wants to get rid of black people. Really? Is that what you're saying? We have
let's look at the history of white people, devil. Let's look at the history of your ancestors.
Sean Qualley.
Yeah.
Your offense, let me put you on hold real quick. I'm going to make this abundantly clear, okay? There's a man on this side of the microphone with a woman on the side on this microphone, okay? And I'm going to say I don't give a damn what it is that you think about white people, okay? But on this show, all of that devil stuff and using name calling and all that stuff will never be tolerated on the show. Never be tolerated on the show. Okay? If I give it to you, then you can give it back to me. But I'm the man on this show. There will be no men disrespecting any woman anywhere on this show. Okay? We can talk and we can discuss. We can be angry. We can be vitriolic as much as we can. But I will never, ever tolerate even a black woman on this show being disrespected and called names. That's some real, real wickedness right there. You call the white man the devil, you want to call me a devil, you want to call me the devil's advocate, you can tell all that other stuff. But Minister King Shamir Shabazz, let's make this clear, okay, so that you understand where I'm coming from. I don't play that, okay? I am not one of these other dudes out there. I don't do shows like that. So you don't have to apologize. Just refrain. I'll give you a second chance, but you're going to answer the question. You believe that this country has black people under siege?
The world.
The world, whatever? Explain yourself without all the hyperbole, because you've already stated the fact that you ain't planning on killing any white babies. You're not planning on killing any white people. So if I wanted to be vitriolic, I could just say, you're just talking smack, and there's no real, real umph behind your message. I can go there. I'm choosing not to. So respond to the young lady's question, or just say you don't want to talk to her because you don't communicate with white people. I'll put you back on the air and you can respond to it.
Hello?
You're on the air, sir.
All right. Well, as I stated, sir, first and foremost, I would never apologize to any white man or woman.
I would never apologize for my
statements. Hello?
Keep it moving. I didn't ask you to apologize. I say keep it moving.
I know you didn't ask me. I'm just clarifying it so you understand it. I will never, ever bow down to this wicked system of America, sir. And yes, to answer answer the question, if you let me talk, I listen to every word you say. Now, if you'll let me talk.
Yes, please.
Black people are indeed under siege all across the world. Because everywhere we look today, we find thousands and thousands and millions of black children, black grandmothers, uncles, aunts, mothers, fathers, being murdered by the heads of African armies, speaking of Africa, who are funded by white America, who are funded by Europe, and that old Queen Elizabeth. You know who I'm speaking of, huh? Don't act like this is something new. And you sound like a smart, intelligent man, right?
Thank you.
You never heard of this type of history, because even in the book, The Secret Relationships Between the Blacks and Jews, written by the Nation of Islam Research Department, clearly, sir, describes the historic events that white people, major Fortune 500 corporations, let's talk about M&M's and Pepsi and Fruit of the Loom companies, who support child slave labor, who support and funded slavery back in the early 1800s, back in the 1700s. Let's talk about Kellogg's cereal and the DuPonts and the Rothschilds. I mean, well, we could be here forever. So don't act like this is something new. Every time a black man stands up for black people, we're the bigots, we're the racists, we're the haters, we're the this, we're the that. Well, goddamn it, I'm going to tell you right now, I said what I said, I meant every damn word of what I said, and I will never, ever, ever apologize for anything that I've ever said.
Whoa, hold on. So you're telling me that you, again, I want to make sure that we make this clear, that you were calling for the new Black Panther Party to form an army. To go
sir,
out.
That is not what I said.
I'm asking.
That is not
sir.
What I said. You
well,
keep
I'm
trying to throw that in there. That is not what I said.
Well,
I
I'm
told black people,
what
and I
said.
Always teach and train black people to stand up for themselves.
It is okay
to defend yourself. It is okay to plan for survival. White people do it every day, sir. Do they not?
Mr. Minister, it's all right that you want to make your point. But I'm asking you a very simple question. Do not dodge it. You are not a politician. You hate politicians, okay? And I'm pretty sure you hate white politicians. But right now, you were giving me a white politician's answer, my friend. You're giving me a white politician's answer. Now, I am a strong black man. I am a strong black man with conviction. When I call the gay mafia the new terrorist organization, and I refer to them as the Rainbow Jihad, I don't mince words when people ask me, why did you call them that? I said, I called them that because they're a terrorist group, because they make us change our ways and try to make us be something that we're not. They have corrupted our society, and they are making our young children believe that homosexuality is okay. I don't mince words. When someone asks me a question, I say yes and no. And this is supposed to be a strong black organization that speaks not from the hip, but from the heart and mind. So I will give you an opportunity again to answer a direct question, or we've got nothing else to say. Again, so you hear the question, sir.
Let's keep this moving. Go right ahead.
Let's hear the question. Is Minister Shamir Shabazz saying that he is calling for the new Black Panther Party to form an army to attack and kill white people in their homes, drag them out of their homes, and start killing their babies 3 seconds out of the womb, yes or no? Your mic is
on. As I said to you before, okay, that is not what I said.
So the answer is no.
That is not what I said. And I'm not going to say no either.
So the answer
but that is not
no.
what I said.
The
that is not
no.
what I said. Now, you can assume
my
on
question.
Your own.
Answer
you can
my
assume
question.
On your own, sir, but
no, no, no,
that
no.
is not what I said.
I'm not going to assume. I asked you a direct question. You're not
and
saying
I gave you a direct answer. And I gave you a direct answer, sir.
The answer is no.
That's more than you.
Man, that's not what
you said.
We're
going
to have to keep it moving, Reese. We're going to have to keep it moving. As he said, that's not what he said. Why are you questioning?
Okay, so the answer is no. Thank you. That's all I want to know. Go ahead, Mary. Ask a question.
Okay. I mean, seriously, I just don't get any of this. How much hatred
could you walk around every single day with? I mean, your heart is going to explode.
How much hatred?
You're not even going to live.
100% hatred for white people, ma'am.
Excuse me, Mr.
100% hatred for everything white inside that ain't right.
Interrupting me, or I will put you on hold because I have your hand out of the microphone. Whether you agree
you always push the button.
But I'm saying you will listen.
You're not dealing with a fool here, ma'am. You're dealing with a man here. You ask me a question, I give you an answer. I said 100% white people I hate. Every last iota of you,
okay,
I hate.
Okay.
Why do I hate white people? Why do I hate white people? Let's look at the history of white people.
No, Mr. Devine.
Let's look at the murder of black people at the hands of white people, ma'am. Stop ducking it. It is what it is. Your people have been exposed. So let's just accept it for what it is.
Let's wrap this. Hold on. Let's wrap this up. We're not going to get anywhere with that commentary. Anyway,
you're not going to convince King Salman Shabazz to say anything other than what he's saying.
Maurice is going to be Maurice. He's disrespectful. Continue on.
We're trying to get a firm understanding of the stance of the new Black Panther Party and the current and very recent headlines. So I'm going to go to somebody who I've been dying to speak to. Okay? This is Minister Mekhi Muhammad. Minister Mekhi Muhammad is the gentleman who put the $10,000 bounty or reward on George Zimmerman. He claimed
he did not do that. Don't say that. He did not do that.
Whoa, wait. Did he not say that there was a reward for the capture?
He did. Let me be clear. I'm the national spokesman of the organization. I'm gonna give you the official position. What you asking my brother King Salman Shabazz, what you're asking Minister Mekhi Muhammad is in reference to what they quoted. I'm gonna give you the position. The position of the new Black Panther Party is that there was a reward issued for George Zimmerman when he was not arrested, and that was legal by Florida statute and law. So we cannot say that Mekhi Muhammad did it because it was called for by the people in Sanford, Florida that we dealt with at the time. We've explained it on your show before. But go right ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, JC. You wanted to jump in?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Minister Mekhi Muhammad, who I just placed on hold when I took initial information with regards to coming onto the show, he's the one that told me he put the $10,000 bounty on George Zimmerman's head. Those are his words.
He'll explain it to you, but I'm go right ahead. Put him on the phone. My words. We had the whole party on. They can tell you themselves.
You got it, Minister Mekhi Muhammad. Thank you for joining a special commercial-free Reese on the radio.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself, sir. Do you wish to address that? Was it a bounty? Was it a reward? Was it lawful? Do you believe that the people out there who, I mean, Sean Hannity referred to it as a bounty, called it unlawful?
Well, Sean Hannity is a lying devil. According to the United States Constitution, we have that right to call for a citizen's arrest, and the people put the money together, and we made an announcement. And today we stand on that foundation, so there's no mince in my words, sir.
Okay, so the $10,000 reward has since been rescinded because he, of course, has been arrested. He is now out on bail. I believe that has no bearing on where we are now. I'd like to ask you some questions. You've done some interviews on CNN. I've seen a lot of the interviews that you've had. I've seen a couple of the things that you said. People have pretty much said that you're kind of contradicting yourself kind of often, sir.
Well, I contradict myself. Go right ahead with your question, sir.
Okay. My question is what is your position? Because from what I gather, the position of the new Black Panther Party has been considered radical. I'm going to stay away from that sort of definition. Is there any bearing, as far as you're concerned, with the new Black Panther Party forming an army to attack or to protect itself against white people in America?
Call on our people to build a militia to defend themselves like any other people, sir. We state that in our 10-point platform.
Are you defending yourself from the Bloods and the Crips and the Vice Lords, sir? Are you defending black
people? Unity, love, and self-respect, sir. After 500 years of bloody white murder, we are teaching our people unity, self-respect, come together, defend and protect, educate, developed like any other civilized people, sir.
Minister Muhammad, I'll ask again since you just dodged my question, and I don't know what the deal is, but I still keep getting dodges. What are you doing to protect the young black people from themselves in cities like Chicago?
We're teaching our people love, self-knowledge, unity, self-respect. That's what we're doing, sir.
Why
I asked a silly question, sir.
Why are you not in Chicago?
Why are we not in Chicago? Why are you not in Chicago?
Sir, I can
Aren't you a black man?
You know why I'm not in Chicago?
Okay.
I'll tell you why, sir. And again, like I tell everybody,
you don't know where we are for the record, sir.
No. Let me make this clear, because I told you I speak with conviction, okay?
Me too.
Because I don't care that they kill each other.
I know. You're a sellout. That's why.
That's right.
You're a sellout. You're a disgrace to black people. That's why you don't care.
That's right. I'm a disgrace
to black
people.
You just expose yourself that you're a typical
middle-class
Negro. That's all.
Sir, that's the reason why you're not there. Because you're
I'm here in Jacksonville teaching my people. I work and I
Brother McKay, hold one second. Brother McKay, hold one second. Reese, what you're doing, sir, is really almost criminal. It's really almost criminal. Because the thing is this, if you are not willing yourself, Reese, to make a move, how could you castigate another man or organization for not making the move? I say again,
wait a minute, you don't know where we are.
I just left Chicago, sir.
Just left Chicago.
Organizing the gangs on the ground in Chicago. You don't know where we've been at, sir.
Hold on. Sean Qualley, give me a second. Let me just put everybody on hold real quick. Let me explain to you so that everybody understands, and I want to make sure that they hear this clearly. Okay? It's those same black people who are out there killing themselves and shooting up blocks and shooting women and children over drug spots and streets that they don't own. How am I, as a black man, as a real black man, supposed to hold them to any other standard than what it is that they behave to be, and that is savages? I am not going to go out there and help a group of people who refuse to help themselves and have decided to kill themselves. Now, here is a group called the New Black Panther Party who says that they stand up for black people, the impoverished, the struggling, those in need. And there is an epidemic of killings going on in the city of Chicago. Instead of dealing with a Latino man who shot a 6'1" black boy who had some Skittles and an iced tea, they are not in the belly of the beast where black people are killing themselves in astronomical numbers. More people died in Chicago than they did in Afghanistan last month. The crime rate has jumped up 38% in the city of Chicago. And what does Rahm Emanuel, the Jew, who is the mayor of that city, propose? Let's bring in a casino so that we can give the money to the school system. He told the thugs and the killers, don't shoot our kids. Take your violence to a back alley. He didn't say stop killing yourselves. He said, get your ass in a back alley and kill each other. That's what he said. Just don't shoot the kids. And the New Black Panther Party, who I believe in some people's calling of, they call them a radical and very, very confrontational group. Here is a group that I believe is strong, has some sort of conviction, yet I haven't seen it here yet, would go down there and face those thugs and let them know, black man, you're killing yourself. Black man, you're killing your own people. Why don't you take your AK-47s and your AR-15s and join us so we can start taking it to these white people? There's your army right there, folks. Those people are willing to die over crack rocks. Don't you have enough influence to get them to die for your cause? Or is it just that you're running around just as fashion plates and don't really have a plan on dragging these poor black people out of the misery that they put themselves in every day? Forget about the white man putting the drugs in their cities. These black people are smart. Forget about that. Stop blaming the white man. What are you doing for the black man? If they're smart enough to sell drugs, if they're smart enough to fire a weapon, shouldn't they be smart enough to fire a weapon for your cause to get them out of bondage? Don't they have enough guts to do that? Does your organization have enough guts to do that? I'll give you thousands of dollars if you promise right now that you will take your rhetoric to the city of Chicago and go confront the Vice Lords. Go confront the Bloods and the Crips. Go confront those guys and say, put your guns down and tote them for me. Go claim an army. I'll get you thousands of dollars if you do it. I promise you I will. I'll get every one of them to say, if you can get them to stop killing each other and bring that crime rate down, I'll get you tons of money. Tons of it. I promise you. But what I think it is, I think it's easy for you. I think it's easy for you to scream racism. It's base. It's real simple. White man, 586 years. White man holding us back. White man did this. It's easy for you. It rolls right off your tongue. But when I say stuff like gang violence, drug violence, little boys, little girls, 6, 7 years old, getting shot up on the streets of Harlem, shot up in the streets of Bed-Stuy, shot up in the streets of Chicago, you got nothing. You've made no inroads where it counts. That's a fact. Because as much as you were talking about the white man killing you, the numbers for black-on-black crimes continue to rise. You've done nothing.
But what they're saying is it's the black, it's the white man's fault why black people are killing each other.
No, we're not falling for that anymore.
We know.
Now I'll let you filibuster, Sean.
I want to say something for the listening audience that our microphones are on mute, so I don't want you all to think that what Reese is saying has some type of weight to it. Let me say this, what I was saying before, and I will clarify this, so that as soon as Reese gets off his soapbox, that the New Black Panther Party is in every city where there's any kind of trouble, sir. But the New Black Panther Party is not solely responsible for the situation. It is as a community that is responsible. Let me go further. You don't talk about any other group in terms of their crime and their savagery like you talk about the black man and black woman. But, hell, look, even as you talked about the Jews and you talked about Rahm Emanuel, there were those who were called Jew rats who wore Nazi uniforms, who put Jews in ovens and burned Jews. There are verified at least 72 who were in Nazi uniforms that were known to execute Jews. All right, so you stop playing those kind of games.
Mr. Qualley.
Black people's violence is a result,
Mr. Qualley.
Sir.
Mr. Qualley.
Listen, you were on mute, and you wanted to talk. Now you don't want to hear.
Mr. Qualley, allow me to put you on mute again. As I said before, I told everybody that I was going to put you on mute. They know you're on mute. My audience knows. Everybody knows you're put on mute. That's because I'm not going to get argued down, and I'm not going to be filibustered. You're going to answer the questions directly, and I can see from what I just said about cities like Chicago, cities like Philadelphia, cities like New York, where the crime rates in black-on-black crimes have gone up. Yes, you're in cities everywhere, but you've made no difference. The only noise you've been able to get, the only press you've been able to get, the only time I ever hear anything about the New Black Panthers, it's about the white man, but yet you leave the black man behind. You ardently go after another white issue or a so-called white issue, and you don't deal with black-on-black crimes. Remember, you want to save black people, right? That's the bottom line. You want to save black people. Well, God says he'll only help those who help themselves. So in this case, help your brother. That's the only thing I'm saying. We'll bring somebody else in. Who's calling in from California, JC? I apologize, because I want to get everybody in here who has a question. This is King Inyala from Los Angeles. He's got a question. King, go ahead. What's your question, sir? Sir, you're on.
Hello?
Yes, you're on, sir. How can I help you? What's your question?
This is King Inyala. Let me ask you something, man. Why that white bitch that was on there and she said something about my brother having hatred. Why don't the bitch ask the Ku Klux Klan why they have so much hatred? Why y'all don't question them? Why you don't get them on your radio station and ask these motherfucking beast monsters why they hit and kill and list black people, which they still do to this?
No, excuse me. What did you just call her?
He called me a bitch. I heard him.
Exactly what he is. A bitch. A white-speaking bitch. And you
offer to. You see what I'm saying? Now, I am not going to hang up on him. But hold on.
No.
I'm not hanging up on him. As I said, you can get disrespectful. I'm not going to hang up on you. You're still on the line, King and Yala. See, you're supposed to be a king. In other words, you're supposed to be above the fray. That's it. No. You don't need to respond to that. We don't do that here. Let me explain it to you. You don't have to respond to it. Let me tell you why.
I want
to
respond.
I know you do, but don't do that. Let me tell you why. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off, and in no way am I trying to talk to you in a subversive way.
But I'm going
to
say what I have to say.
I know you. No. What I want you to do is, again, you be above the fray. But when people do that, when people do that, he's a man. I don't need a woman to respond to a man in that way. We're not going to do that because he's already showed his card. We're above the fray here. You see, I could have disrespected him and just cut him off, and that would have been it. But I don't fear him. I put him on hold. If he wants to get back in, JC, get him on the bubble. See whether or not he wants to get back on and he wants to talk again. I don't fear these people.
I don't fear them either.
I want to make sure that they know. I don't fear these people.
But I invited – my point is I invited – Mr. Quali, I cordially invited you on the show because – I was interested in talking to you all. This isn't about race. This isn't about, I don't see that. I'm not that type of person. You can call me a devil. You can call me a bitch. You can call me a cracker. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But Mr. Carlin,
I have not disrespected you. Wait a minute.
Mr. Quali, I never said that you did. You never did disrespect me. You never have disrespected me.
Don't put that on me.
I'm not putting it on you. I'm just saying, I'm telling all of the other listeners that are calling in because we have you on the show. I personally asked Mr. Quali to come on this show. So I would appreciate it. If you want to talk, let's talk. I would like to talk, but I can't talk to you and I can't get any information from you. You can't get any information from me. If you're just calling me bitches and devils and all that, I mean, it's ridiculous. At this point, I'm like, well, if that's how you want to deal with it, that's how you want to deal with it. We're not going
to get anywhere. Let me say this, and this is with all due respect, and like I'm saying, it's kind of hard to have this discourse because we're being put on hold, and everybody's jumping in trying to say their piece. I will say this to you, Mary. I'll say this. That when you invited the question from Minister King Samir Shabazz and whoever, you said that you would not get offended. You did say that you wouldn't get offended, and then Reese jumps in and tries to play linebacker like he's your personal defense, and it's not even that kind of party. You're asking people. Yes, ma'am. You're asking people who are angry what their position is, and they're saying,
"Hey, Quali, that wasn't Reese that jumped her defense. I jumped in there."
Whoever jumped in, I'm just saying that if we're going to talk about the official position of the party, let's talk about it, but we're getting sidetracked here.
Okay, we are getting sidetracked. And, Mr. Quali, to come back to you about Reese, first of all, I know that you've seen my name. I know that you've seen his name. He is my husband. So, therefore, of course he's going to say something. And he never even said, listen, you're not going to talk to my wife like that. All he said was, you're not going to talk to a woman like that, okay?
I didn't know it. I have nothing to do with that. That's personal. What I'm still saying is that the people, yes, but the people who have come on the show, we're asking them to come on and present their piece, and they're presenting it. So I'm just saying, if we're going to move forward from here and get back to the facts and get back to what we're here to talk about, let's talk about it. Otherwise, you can keep talking to them and getting sidetracked.
Now, we are going to move forward. Again, as I said, and I'm going to ask that statement again, the new Black Panther Party, in my opinion, and an opinion of plenty of people in the black community, and you know who they are, Mr. Quali, plenty of people in the black community say over and over again that they do not stand with this cause. They believe that it is too radical. They believe that you do not stand for what they stand for. They do not believe, as you believe, that they are in some sort of bondage. Now, I know what argument you'll make there. They don't know. They're not intelligent enough. They don't see with their mind's eye. I know all the arguments, okay? And I understand.
Not quite, but I'll hear you out. Go ahead.
Okay, but my bottom line on this is that there are people within the black community, okay, who do not care that they are out there killing their own. And that's why I cannot care. And I will tell you right off the bat, I do not care if they don't care. You cannot get my compassion if you don't deserve it, if you haven't earned it, that you are really in straits. What my problem is that the new Black Panther Party fashions itself as going out on the front lines where where the death and the inhumanity is taking over our black people. Why aren't you in the belly of the beast of a problem that is so, so transformative that needs to stop, especially in an area like Chicago? And you're right, I don't know where you are, but I don't hear that you're doing it. I don't see anything on your website that suggests that you're out there dealing with those subject matters.
There is a lot. Let me get it right here. There is a lot that we do that you don't hear about. So that just furthers my point. The website, if it's updated, you'll see all of that. But the website is not yet updated. My point again, I'm telling you, the official position is that we are wherever we're needed and wherever the call is. I just left Chicago. That's what I'm telling you. God, I got pictures and everything. I'll send to Mary. She can see we were in Chicago on the west side. I was being secured by some gangsters that were up there, so what you call gangsters, and all those that are up there. Let me be frank that those are our people too, the brothers and sisters who you call Bloods and Crips and the GDs and the Vice Lords and whoever. Those are our people. Those are family members. Those are people's cousins. Those are people's friends. They don't come out of a vacuum. They were created out of a situation. When you have a people who have been robbed of name, language, culture, religion, folkway, four-way, norm, and the power of their own being, sir, they're going to be under themselves. I'll give it to you historically.
All right. I'm trying to cut down the filibuster. JC, we've got a couple of phone calls in the queue that have no info on them. Okay, while we're waiting, I want to take a question from Queen Sheba and Mike in Florida. Let's bring in Queen Sheba, who wanted to talk in. She is a supporter of Sean Qualley. She's got a question. What's your question, Queen Sheba?
All right.
Queen Sheba, you're on the phone. Okay, I guess she's not there. All right, my apologies there, Queen Sheba.
That's all right.
I understand that emotions get high.
I understand tempers get flared or whatever. But we're here to discuss some serious issues, and I'm still here with you. Let's go.
Exactly. Let's take another phone call. This is from Brother Shah. He's in Queens, New York. Brother Shah, you're on with Reese on the radio.
Peace, black power to all my comrades in the struggle.
Peace and black power.
First and foremost, no disrespect to you, Reese, but I got to say this. It strikes me as weird that I'm talking to a black man that sounds like a white man and a white girl that sounds like a black man. Now, we here in New York City, brother, we out here doing the work in New York. I'm not in Chicago. I don't live in Chicago. Okay, and the media does not want to champion the good things that we're doing. So if you ask, what are we doing, brother? This Sunday, October 19th, you can check the Amsterdam News. You can check New York One. The new Black Panther Party had its boots on the ground in South Jamaica, Queens, brother. South Jamaica, Queens, making peace, making inroads.
Brother Shah.
Yes, sir.
Shah, you're in Queens, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Shah, I'm from Queens. I'm from Hollis, Queens. My mother
so then you know what happened out here this Sunday then, brother. You aware of what happened when we did?
My mother lives on 109th Road and Merrick Boulevard. Okay?
Well, we came down 111 or something, and we ended up in Baisley Project. We brought over 1,000 people from different organizations to bring peace amongst the warring gangs, brother.
Okay.
That's what the new Black Panther Party is doing.
I went to Jackson High School. I went to Jamaica.
So I don't need your history, sir. Come on, let's move on, sir. I don't need your history. I take your word on it, sir. Let's move on. Don't sidetrack me, sir.
Okay, all that other hyperbole about how I sound
there's
white.
There's no hyperbole, sir. I know what hyperbole means. There's no, I gave you facts, sir. You asked for facts. I'm telling you what we're doing, sir.
You're talking about me sounding white. I said all that other hyperbole is unnecessary.
That's no hyperbole. You admitted it yourself.
Okay.
I said it was funny.
I understand how I sound. But, Brother Shah, I'm deep from the hood.
You ain't got to repeat that again, sir. Every other listener heard that already. Just move on.
The new Black Panther Party, they're not there.
Panther Party is in Queens, sir. We was on the ground.
Dude, the
bodega. Excuse me?
bodegas in Queens. What does that mean?
I said we was on the ground, boots
see,
on the ground.
Wait a minute, hold on. But Brother Shaw, wait a minute. But you're trying, again, sir, you're putting the entire responsibility of a created situation, a systemic situation, on the back of the new Black Panther Party. That's
okay,
just
so
not fair. You don't do that to
fair
all the
enough.
Churches in Queens. You
so
don't do that to all the mosques in Queens.
Right.
You don't do that to Reverend Al Sharpton or anybody else. You're going to put it on the new Black
yes,
Panther Party.
I
Why
do.
Would you do that, Reese?
Mr. Kweli, yes, I do.
Yeah.
So let's ask Brother Shaw. Your boots are on the ground. What did you accomplish?
Yes, sir.
What did you accomplish in Baisley Projects in by Baisley Park? What did you accomplish?
I'll tell you this, brother. What we're fighting is a long-term war. We're not looking for no, even though we are having immediate gains, okay? Because there was no wars and no killings that day, sir. So we accomplished something that day. We saved lives
okay.
that day.
Okay.
This Wednesday,
right.
sir. This Wednesday, you asked a question. Let me answer, sir. Don't do
right.
that. Don't be rude like that. This Wednesday, we'll be up in Grand Houses. With the new Black Panther Party, we'll be up in Grand Houses in Manhattanville on 120 Fifth Street. And if you care, you can come out there and you can see us bring peace between two long-term warring projects right there on 120 Fifth Street in Harlem. Okay?
Okay.
Now, these
there
things
you go.
Are, these
you
things
know
here,
what?
Brother.
Brother Shaw.
What's that, sir?
Brother Shaw, let me say this to you. Brother Shaw, if that's what is you're doing indeed, if you don't have a media forum, then that's why
the media doesn't cover the positive things that black people do, sir.
Hear me out, Brother Shaw. If that is what's going on, then you've got a forum. You call Reese on the radio. You contact me.
Reese, you come hit the streets with us, brother. You see what we do. Come see that. Bring your camera, sir. You give me your number, and I will inform you where we at and where and when we're at. You come and bring your camera, and you can take pictures for yourself and see for yourself.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. JC,
you got to give it to him. You got to give him a hand.
That's right. I'm giving him his props. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to hear all this other hyperbole about what it is that we're getting done. Now, I'm going to take another phone call. And this may be vitriolic, but it's about time that we get this phone call in. Mike in Florida, you're on with national spokesperson Sean Kweli on Reese on the radio.
Jesus Christ. These guys are so full of crap. Their eyes are brown.
What color are yours?
Mine are blue because I am the devil,
okay.
Dude.
Okay, and blue represents deception. Go with your question.
I think that you guys, I know what your story is. There's two possibilities. One is you guys get on the phone and you get excited and you talk shit that you don't mean. Then when you get caught, you cry and backtrack and try to throw things about context and, oh, my word, no more killing. Or, which I think is more likely, is you guys are a bunch of black Hal Turners. And I know you know who Hal Turner is.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead with your question.
You are an FBI informant. You're an FBI informant.
Who is an FBI informant?
You, Maurice Heath, Michelle Williams. You guys are all obviously on the payroll or you'd be in jail.
Well, listen.
So what you're doing?
Let me say this.
You're working.
I'm glad that you're working live
finish.
On the air because now you're
have,
liable
you have
to slander. I appreciate
30
it.
Minutes. Let me
thank
talk.
We thank you. Just because someone stands up and is strong and their position is strong and they may say things that you do not agree with, that does not make them
no,
an informant.
If you were the real deal, you would be in jail.
What laws
you're
have we broke,
in
sir?
Jail because
hold on. What laws
you?
Have we broke to be in jail? Talk to me. Let's have this conversation.
The reason you're not in jail.
No. Answer my question. What laws have we broke?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. You basically called for armed insurrection.
That's not murder. That's not illegal. The Constitution allows you to form a well-regulated militia. What's your next
you
question?
You cannot threaten murder, sir.
We didn't threaten murder. It's already been explained to you in the radio show. What's your next
and
question?
And you know what? Your boy Maurice does not know how to explain himself. There is no context in which it's okay to say we are going to go into nurseries and throw bombs at white babies.
He didn't say that in any kind of murderous context. He already explained
it. Exactly
I will say
that.
This, since you're so patriotic, I will say that America awards all of her killers. America gives them ribbons, stars, and bars. And in their tours of duty in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, wherever they are, they kill men, women, and children.
Hold on now.
And I'll tell you what, man. When I look at a news story and I see that some gangbangers got shot in Chicago, you know what I do? I pop a bottle and laugh like a baboon, sir. It's funny to me.
Wait. Okay, hold on. All right. Because you know that's going to get everybody heated now. Now everybody's going to want to answer a question. I will say this, okay? Mike in Florida, your question, to answer that, King Shamir Shabazz has already made it abundantly clear that even though his context may have been taken out of context, that he has now admitted that in no way is he suggesting that people go and do that. So if you want to call that backpedaling, or he in essence gave a clear distinction of what it is that he's saying, you take it the way that you want to take it. I just asked the question, okay? So King Shamir Shabazz has said, under no circumstances is he telling people to go out there and commit such acts. And that's on them. I'll take one more question. In fact, let me get down here to Sal in Boston, because I'm sure he's got a question. Sal, you're on Maurice on the radio, and Sean Quali of the New Black Panther Party. What's your question, sir?
This isn't really a question. I just want to make an observation. I really think this is all about self-promotion. This is less about the communities that you claim to represent.
Self-promotion for who?
For your group, Sean Quali.
We're not getting paid for this. We're not riding in Rolls Royces for this. What do you mean?
You're going to tell me that you guys maintain full-time jobs and you gain no
your question is elementary, sir. There are people who own their own business and some of them work on jobs. There's nothing wrong with being vocal and emotional and organizational about the liberation of black people from these conditions. That's elementary.
Funded. Or do you not accept funds?
We accept no funds except funds from the people.
Except what?
Except funds
from people.
We don't accept government grants. We don't have any ties. We're a revolutionary black organization. You know better than that. Why are we being this is what I'm saying. Why are we being like this on the radio show?
Hold on, Mr. Quali. Wait.
What's the point?
That is a valid question. He doesn't know how you're funded. He just asked. Why is that an unfair question?
And the point I'm trying to make,
wait a minute. Let me answer. Because the way that he stated his question was, he said we're doing it for self-promotion. In response, I'm saying in self-promotion for who? We're not funded and driving by some hidden hand and driving around in limousines and
passing. You don't need to go any further. I understand exactly. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that when he said self-promotion, in other words, you're not using your promotion to then get money for it. Sal, what's your next statement?
So the only point I wanted to make at the end of the day, this whole thing would go away if you were actually in the communities and doing good work and trying to be leaders, positive role models, because nobody wants to hear positive stories. So instead you dress up like G.I. Joe dolls and hold guns and you...
We're not in control of the news cycle, sir. We're not in control of the news cycle. We're not in control of the education being taught in the schools. We're not in control of that. This whole thing would go away if there was not systemic white racism that produced the black inferiority.
So do something positive for these kids.
All the time. Didn't you just hear what Brother Shaw said he was doing? He was uniting two warring factions out there in the street. You don't think that's positive?
Was he recruiting or was he actually uniting?
Say again?
Was he recruiting or uniting?
What difference does that make? If people who come together in peace want to join on to help other people in the dirt, what's wrong with that? The Irish did that. The Jews did that. The Mexicans have done that. What's wrong with that? You're being a racist on this show right now.
Sean Quali.
That's what I said.
Listen to me. No, hold on. I'm not angry at what you said. I'm concerned about what you said. Somebody asked you a question and it automatically turns to racist. It wasn't a racist
question. Let's just be clear. He's already trying to give the impression that
forget about the impression that he's giving. Seriously. Forget about that. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Okay, this is what gets you guys into that area of being radical. Listen to what I'm saying. Someone asks you a question because they don't understand. Okay? Now, if you understand, okay, Malik Shabazz, okay, if you understand him, the most important thing is that when someone doesn't understand, you educate. How are you going to take his question and immediately deem it as racist to write it off? If he doesn't understand you, answer him and educate him. Enlighten him. That is your first job as a new Black Panther. When they don't understand, we enlighten. Isn't that true, black man? Now, help me out and tell me I'm wrong.
Well, once you unmute my mic, I'll tell you. Now that my mic is unmuted, I'll tell you, no, that it's not our number one purpose in the new Black Panther Party to educate white people on what they don't understand. Our number one purpose in the new Black Panther Party is to be a freedom fighter for black people.
But
we are black masters, sir,
Pat Africa. Mr. Kwali,
yes, ma'am.
Okay.
He asked me, Mary, so I'm trying to tell him.
No, okay, I understand, but listen, I am truly, I don't, like I told you earlier, everybody knows, I don't see color, I don't see any of that. That's just not who I am. I wasn't raised that way, never will be that way, never promote that to anybody. I promote that to everybody. You shouldn't see anybody for color, you should see everybody for their individuality. But as a person of the white race, I'm very interested in where all of this is coming, like how the new Black Panther Party gets their, you know, their opinions and their feelings on, like, your history, you spew hatred against all white people.
It's not, history. Let me say this. Let me finish.
I feel like when I read a lot of the stuff, because I do follow things that, you know, I follow the headlines that you guys come out in, I'm a follower on your page, you know, I'm very interested on the mental and emotional part of all of this. Like, why do people spew all of this hatred towards white people? And then when white people want to know what it's about, it's like, no, we don't have to explain that to you. All you need to know is that your ancestors, you know, 300 years ago were hanging people, or less than 300 years ago, because that was happening less than 300 years ago.
What I said in answer to his question was while I was on mute, he gave the predisposition that our job in the new Black Panther Party was to enlighten people and educate them on whatever it is we're doing. In specific, the man who was on the phone who was a Caucasian, I said, no, it's not. Our job is to be a freedom fighter and warrior for black people. To answer the question about supposedly where all of this is coming from, how all this got in place in what you call hatred. We've been telling you over and over again that we're looking at historically and presently the condition of the pitiful poor black man and black woman who have been miseducated and robbed for capitalist gain, and that at the hands of white corporations and at the hands of colonizers and at the hands of those who would continue that legacy. Let me say this, that if things had changed, if things were this utopian society, like what we're trying to promote and what you're trying to promote on this show today, ma'am and sir, if things had changed, we would not have a need for a new Black Panther Party. There'd be no need for the National Action Network, the Nation of Islam, the Yahoo movement, or any movement, any grassroots movement, because there would be equality, there would be peace, there would be freedom, there would be justice and equality. The fact that you have every 40 hours in America, black men and women being stopped and frisked right there in New York with you, right there in New York.
Okay.
The fact
Mr.
that you have.
Mr. Pauley, I don't know how many times I'm going to say to you, you got to stop filibustering. You got to stop filibustering.
I'm just saying.
You're giving me
long questions. Don't want to give me a long time to answer.
Well, no, because we only got 2 hours.
JC, can you check the phone lines, please, first of all? And Mr. Kwali, you know, what the corporations you talk about, you know, all of this stuff is going on right now. What corporations are just totally out to get black people? Wait.
I don't think that you're understanding what I'm saying. What we're saying is that the corporations that were built, they were built on the backs of slavery. You cannot deny that fact. And the fact
okay,
of that is
wait a minute.
Apple was built on the backs of slaves?
Do your research. The white corporations were built. They started as small businesses on the backs of black people. Well, even the very White House itself and everything that you have as an institution in America.
Mr. Kwali, can we put the past
started in America?
Wait a minute, Mr. Kwali, can we put the past in the past and deal with the future? Because that Let me finish. Can we put the past in the past and let the future and the present, that's why it's called the present, because it's the most precious time, okay? I understand that there was unjust due to black people in the past. I understand that. And I understand that my ancestors were probably doing that as well. So
okay.
I'm not going to say that I'm not that my ancestors didn't have a part of that, but I didn't have a part of that. And a lot
okay,
of
okay, but you reap what you sow. Let me say this: you may not have had a direct part in it. Okay, wait a minute. Let me say this: you may not have had a direct part in it, but you reap the benefits from the society. If you are not actively working to stop and destroy what your ancestors built, you are just as guilty.
Oh, Mr. Qualley, what is it that I'm supposed to do as a white woman to stop and destroy black people from being discriminated against? Let me finish.
That's a beautiful question. You as a white woman, you got to give us some John Brown action. You got to give us some Marilyn Buck action. Do you know about Marilyn Buck? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Marilyn Buck was a white woman who understood what her people did, and she went and worked to free black political prisoners. She worked and organized to help destroy white supremacy. Read you up some Marilyn Buck. If you did some Marilyn Buck work, we could give you some credit. But we see white people saying we're teaching hatred and we're suffering all the time at the hands of a brutal taskmaster. And in today's society, under neocolonialism, a black face with a white mind.
What is the final goal? This is really my question.
Yes. Right ahead.
What is the final goal of the new Black Panther movement? I mean, what is the result? What is the end result? Is it killing all white people in the entire world and it only be black people that live in the world or in this country?
We never said that.
No, I'm not saying that you did. I'm asking what is your utopia result? What is it that you all want?
The final result is self-determination, land of our own, laws of our own, food, clothing, and shelter, the same thing that you want for your people or others want for their people. We definitely have to have for our people. Hold on, let me ask you correct. We definitely have to have for our people and not at the expense of our character and not at the expense of our well-being and personal safety. Absolutely.
Mr. Qualley, I want that for all people. I don't want that for my people. You are my people.
I don't know about that.
My people, Mike from Florida, the white guy is my people, Sal is my people, everybody is my people.
That's in your utopian society and mine, maybe. But that is not the reality that is out here on the streets. What is happening to young black women and young black sisters like Ayanna Jones does not happen in the white community.
Mr. Qualley, there are disparages in the white communities
Which ones are you referring to?
There are disparages everywhere, and those disparages really are because of financial statuses.
Which disparages are you talking to? Every place that we have been in the world, every place, every country, wherever we go, if it's a capitalist country, you see the white capitalists on the top, the black capitalists on the bottom. If it's a socialist country, you see the white socialists on the top, the black socialists on the bottom. If it's America, you see the same thing in this class structure. What are you talking about?
Okay.
The president is black.
The president has a black face with a black woman, of course, and a black family, but he does not present himself, and he does not even say that he represents the black nation. He says
he represents a multicultural
utopian society, which you're trying to present.
That statement you made about President Barack Obama, you are definitely right.
Our ancestors did not fight just to put a black man in the White House. That was not all what our people were fighting for, even if they were fighting for that at all. Our people were fighting to get free from the bondage and shackles of slavery. And now that the emancipation and all that took place, all that happened was the shackles were taken away from some of our hands and some of our feet, and now we were shackled in the mind. You got to read Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro. We're talking historical truth and facts. Mr. Qualley, we're going to take some more calls,
okay? And again, I'm going to ask all the callers that come in, again, try to keep it brief. Mr. Qualley
We've only got.
This is a great show. This might be a classic show for you, Reese.
It might be. Let's take Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery.
Calling
from Norfolk, Virginia. Go ahead, James. Try to keep it brief so his answer's brief.
It's Hampton, Virginia, first and foremost.
Yes.
But I've long been a proponent that there's been a prevalent thing that to paint black people, and especially young black people, as savages who can't control themselves. And
right.
something, and black people in general as something to fear. And it is still prevalent to this day to be
that's right.
placed.
Go ahead.
Warming
up. No, I think we lost him. Let's go to another call.
We lost that call, but kept the other one.
Yeah, we lost him. Let's take Justice in Virginia. Justice, you're on with Reese on the radio talking to Mr. Sean Qualley.
Yes, I'd like to know one thing only. I mean, I'm listening. I've been listening for a while. I got off because I couldn't understand why a man of color would down people of color like you've been doing.
Who would
you
do that to, sir?
Whoa. Hold on. Before you answer that, Sean Qualley, Justice in Virginia is referring that question to me, and let me respond.
Yes,
to
I am. Like
let me respond
you,
to
like you said, the word thugs, whatever, all this other crap. You sound just like a person with no color. That's what
I'm not a person
you
with.
You sound
no
like a person with no color.
Hey, Justice.
I don't want to call you Uncle Tom.
Justice, let me answer your question. Because I understand you want to talk, and you said you had to call in, and I'll let you respond. But let me answer your question. You said that you cannot believe that a black man would be talking about other black people that way. So let me answer it for you so you understand. My name is Reese, and who I am walks through that door before my color does. And if you see me as a color before you see me, something's wrong with you. The person that you see is Reese. I'm bigger than life. I'm bigger than it all. Okay? You know how Dolomite used to say it? You know, they used to say, like Dolomite used to say, shit ice cream. That's who I am. My personality outweighs my color. If the first thing you see is my color, I'm nothing. I'm just a black guy. I'm just another face in the crowd. I'm Reese. So I have no qualms about talking about an Irish guy or a Jew or a black or a Chinese person or a Bangladeshi or an Indian. I treat them all with cruelty when it applies. I disrespect anybody who deserves to be disrespected. I don't give a damn what your color is because I'm some part of some tribe. You get some pass. If that's the way you wish to get down, Justice, you do that. If you love a black man, no matter what he does to you, that the content of his character means nothing as long as he's black, then you just support what's black, my man.
Then vote for Marion Barry.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You just support what's black, my man. Don't look into a man's heart and see who he is and what he is. Just support him because of his color. I don't get down like that. That's what makes me an individual, friend. So now I'll let you respond to that so that I can make sure that you understand me first. Okay? Now, let me see where we appear to have. Where the heck is his number?
It's
did
a 540 number.
Did he hang up? I hope he didn't hang up. No, there he is. I apologize, Justice. Now, I'll let you
say that. Did you hear me say all that crap that you're talking? That's what I want to know.
No. Now, respond. You said you never heard of another black man talk about black people that way. So, go on.
No, I got that. The way you keep saying thug or whatever. I mean, that's stupid. You sound like you shouldn't even be a black man. And I'm not in the color, okay? I believe prejudice is a child's ignorance. I'm a firm believer in that, and I felt that. I believe that for the last, I don't know how many years.
Oh, so you said I shouldn't be black?
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't be black. You act like you're not.
How do black people act, first of all?
I'm a person of color.
Everybody always say you act like you black. Are black people supposed to act a certain way? Are white people supposed to act a certain way? Or are we all just supposed to be individuals and act
whatever? No, what I'm saying is the way he's talking about people of color, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Forget the way he's acting. What he's coming out of his mouth with, like the word studies and everything else. That's what I'm talking about.
Let me explain to this guy. We are talking to the new Black Panther Party, talking about how they feel about the white man versus black people. So therefore, in the context of the conversation, I am talking about black people. Now, if you want to base this on who it is that I am as a person, you know, that's fine. But again, I'll bring it right back to what I just said. My name is Reese. I talk about anybody any way I feel like it. And I don't give a damn whether or not it pulls on your heartstrings or makes you cry. You don't determine what makes me black, brother, unless you're the president of niggas. How about that? Now, you can stay on hold. Let's... I don't know what anybody's coming at me with all this, you don't sound like a black man. I guess you're the president of them. You get to determine what it is that I sound like. Let's get Edward on the line. Edward, what's your question? Edward in Connecticut.
It's not Edward tonight, it's King Edward.
King Edward, my bad.
Hey, I just want to know if the guys were still on the line, because I had a question. I just, you
don't
know, they said the black people.
The line. I'll bring them back in for you if you'd like. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah,
go right ahead. There's so much that needs to be said but can't be said, but go right ahead.
You say that that blacks are under siege, I'm assuming by white people.
Michelle Williams out of Tampa, Florida said that. Maybe I can re-explain it to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned that blacks are killed, you know, in great amounts. You didn't say exactly how many. So how many black people are getting killed by white people, you think, in the United States every year?
At what period of time, sir? I mean, you can go to Google and look at that yourself. I mean, come
no,
on.
I'm wondering if you know.
Come
I'm just trying
on,
to, you know,
come
understand
on,
what you're
saying. Come on, I mean, no, seriously, let's just be serious. So what you're suggesting to me now is that we're making this up, right?
No. I just want to know the numbers. Is it 2,000, 20,000?
I say one is too many.
Well, okay. Mr. Crowley, I think...
Listen,
hold on, Edward. Hold on. Mr. Crowley, I think he's asking
one,
about...
One is too many. What's
okay, you know what?
Crowley,
if you don't
wait. In order to address an epidemic, epidemic, it's usually routine. It's almost
not,
epidemic.
Wait a minute. It's
hold
not
on,
just
wait,
in the black make, community.
Make the statement, Mr. Qualley.
Yeah,
it's
go
ahead. Epidemic, okay? It's usually routine that when people are talking about a plague or when people are talking about a pandemic, if you will, that people usually produce numbers. And Edward in Connecticut is asking a valid question. He's asking you, if black people are under siege and they're being attacked by white people in these alarming numbers, he's asking you, what are the numbers that suggest this or to support this? Can you answer that?
Well, you have, but again, you have to talk about where you're saying that at. Because again, now, the statement
I'll tell
was
you,
made.
I'll tell you.
Hold on. The statement
just,
was made.
You
for, wait
clarify?
A minute. The statement was made for Tampa, Florida. And if we're asking about Tampa, Florida, we can get you. I don't have the facts with me on Tampa, Florida now. So I'm going to just tell you straight. I don't have Tampa's facts, but we can
Look,
get them to you. So if you're asking me to give you some kind of astronomical number of every black man that's been killed,
please stop
you
trying to filibuster me
what?
And let me explain what I was saying. It's not a big deal. I just want to know if you know the numbers in the United States.
No,
if you don't,
sir,
you don't.
I don't have.
Right.
I don't have Tampa's numbers. Next question.
It's not a big deal. You know.
Well, I'm not making it a big deal. I didn't make it a big deal.
Yeah, Edward, all you had to say was no.
Edward,
so,
do you have numbers to support
that? That's what we're saying, sir. The answer is I don't have the numbers for Tampa, Florida.
No, I'm asking Edward. Edward, do you have any specific numbers to support his claims at all?
I do, but I don't have the numbers for Tampa. But there was something else I just wanted to say.
Well, that's what I
question.
Just said.
Okay, go ahead. What was your other
comment? It's not a question, rather, but more of a clarification. You guys keep saying that your words are being taken out of context, and from what I'm hearing, that's not exactly true. Because the definition of taking the definition of taking someone's statements out of context. Let's say I say, "Man, I'm so hungry. If my wife doesn't have dinner, I'm going to kill that bitch," which when I get home. Now,
okay.
If you say, "Go to Costa," and say, "Hey, he says he's going to kill his wife when he gets home," that's taking my words out of context. Something like what Shabazz
what's
was saying.
What's your point, sir?
Something like Shabazz was saying, where he's giving specific tactics where he thinks is justifiable in defense, that's not being taken out of context. He is giving specific tactics that he thinks is justifiable in defense of the black community.
That's a damn lie. Minister Sarmiento did not give specific tactics on how to do anything to people. He did not do that, sir.
Throwing a bomb in a nursery is a specific tactic.
Edward, hold on, Edward. Listen.
Sure.
Mr. Qualley.
Sure. Yeah.
I understand that King Shamir Shabazz
has now said that that wasn't his context.
But he said it that night, Reese. That's again what I'm saying. He said it that night.
Okay, fair enough. Bottom line is, he's clarified himself. We won't go there again. That's why I didn't even bring it up after the fact. When he clarified himself, that was off the table. Edward does one thing. I understand it's a strong argument, Edward, but we took that off the table. King Shamir Shabazz said that that's not what he's saying. He's taken that off the table, so we backed off of it. Okay,
well,
so we're gonna move on. This is Brother Hakeem Abdul Muhammad, the Supreme Captain. Is he relevant to this conversation, sir?
Who are you asking me?
Yes, I am.
If you want to let him in, you can. He may have something to say. But I mean, Brother, we're running short out of time now. We done talked about so much time.
So we'll take a couple of minutes with Brother Hakeem Abdul Muhammad, Supreme Captain. You're on with Reese on the radio, sir.
Hey, Black Power, good afternoon. How is everybody doing? Brother Sean, how
Black Power, Brother Captain, how you doing?
All right, fine.
Did you comment, sir?
Yes, sir. Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
These people here are pretty cool what they do. But, you know, the New Black Panther Party is often imitated but never duplicated.
Well,
I'm asking the chairman, Dr. Curtis Mali Zulu Shabazz has a doctorate degree. These people don't know that we all got I'm not even going to take it there.
It's irrelevant what degrees we got or all of that. The bottom line is that black people are in trouble and we got to help ourselves.
Brother Sean,
yes.
You know we're getting. Excuse me, sir, just for a second, not to be disrespectful. We're in the community. We're even going Al Jazeera, BBC, and CNN. The new Black Panther Party is seeking criteria for the rest of the world to look upon at this time. This is no brag, just a fact. I'm a king. I'm a chief. I don't have money, but I have wealth, and my people love me. Everywhere I go, they ask me to come back. Mubarak asked me in Cairo. Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. Al Jazeera has covered me with Omar al-Bashir in the Sudan. Jacob Zuma in the South. His Excellency Tom Mills, who was just poisoned. I was king and God. I preached my wife, Princess Leila, and my son, Kari Jr. Hey, we're some good people. You know, people don't start, none. It won't be none. But
all
we
right,
know
well,
who we are.
Then, all right, we appreciate
Brother, Brother Hakeem Abdul Muhammad, let me put you on hold for a second. Okay.
We appreciate that.
Sean Kwali, and thank
yeah.
you for calling, sir, and thank you for staying on hold. Sean Kwali, listen, we're near the end of the show, the last 4 minutes. I'm going to take Queen Kashiba, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing her correct. I don't like disrespecting people's names. Queen Kashiba, she is on the phone. Queen Kashiba, are you there?
Yes.
Did you have a question or a statement, ma'am?
My statement is that we as black people been going through everything that we going through from the beginning when our ancestors was brought over here to United Snakes of America without permission.
Thank you, Queen Kashiba. I appreciate the history lesson.
Okay.
I thought it was something else that I was going to get.
All right. Let me jump right on in here at the last 4 minutes.
I'm going to go over time, Sean Kwali. I'm going to go
right.
over time. I'm going to give you a couple of extra minutes. Let me,
all right. Appreciate
let me
it.
Take this phone call from Minister Dennis Do-Nothing in Massachusetts. Dennis, don't start, Dennis.
I just have a question for the spokesman, Mr. Quelly.
Yes, sir.
If I might. If, assuming that your goals are met and the party was put into power, how then, sir, would you deal with dissent among members of the party? Because I don't believe that the party would be monolithic, that everybody has a difference of opinion, because you said you want freedom or death. So given freedom within the party, if you assume power, how, sir, would you deal with dissent within?
That's a great question.
Our people, and in specific,
I'm saying the new Black Panther Party, we deal off a system of what you call Mayotte, which is truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and righteousness. We're talking about justice, and we're talking about reward. We're talking about rewarding good and punishing evil. So if the new Black Panther Party met all its goals, which we pray to Almighty God and work that we do, then we would deal with our people justly. And we deal now with everyone justly. You haven't heard of any major disturbances that the new Black Panther Party has done unless it's been sensationalized by the media. We are peaceful people. I think it is disrespectful to say that to infer that because the people stand up and they're strong, they have a revolutionary position, that they don't know how to be civilized, that they don't know how to be cordial, that they don't know how to have intellectual discourse. That's just the farthest thing from the truth. We're giving the same thing that other people in these kind of conditions have given, and they fought. America fought wars with liberation and independence. The founding fathers and all of them fought for their liberation and independence. And if Patrick Henry can say, give me liberty or give me death, we can say, give us freedom or death. But we're fair to whoever. As long as you're fair to us, we're fair to you.
Okay. Now, thank you, Mr. Sean Qualley. I appreciate all of your time and coming on after. We have some of the hardest debates. I have to control the show because I got a lot of people on there. And again, I understand that you were probably a little ticked off about me putting people on hold or putting you on hold and all that stuff. But it's got to be a controlled show. That's the kind of show that I run. And it's got to be in a controlled atmosphere.
Well, I wasn't out of control.
Who is listening on the show right now, Sean Qualley, again, I appreciate you coming here. Again, no hard feelings. We were going to get into Andrew Breitbart, but you and I will deal with that privately. There's no reason for us to have to deal with that. But let me say,
you already know how I feel about Andrew Breitbart.
I understand. We'll talk about that another time. Let's just deal with what I have to say to everybody tonight who's been on the show. Regardless of whether or not there was, a little bit of anger, a little bit of vitriol, none of that, I appreciate you calling on the show and being a part of it. I appreciate your fearlessness. I appreciate the fact that you came in and wanted to have a dialogue. I appreciate those who didn't want to say anything but wanted to listen. I appreciate those who are coming to check out the show. Again, I ask you, always return. I always tell the truth. I always ask the real questions. I always get to the bottom of things. And I do this in a fearless way. This is Reese on the Radio. Unlike anything you've ever heard on radio, anything you've ever heard done is what it is that we do here. And I expect you to return. I expect you to come back and give me the vitriol. I expect you to come back and say the vicious things to me. As I always say in my own moniker, we await the hate. But we all do it with love. So thank you, each and every one of you, for being a part of the show. It's Reese on the Radio. We will do this again. We have to do this again. Because the story's not over. And as Sean Qualley and the new Black Panther Party always says, the mission is not over. The fight continues. And so, if the fight is still there, we're going to talk about it. You can always log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and that's Reese spelled with an S, not a C. I don't know who these morons are who spell it that way, but it's R-E-E-S-E, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can check out the site. You can check out my background. You can find out who I am and what I'm about. And check out the show weeknights at 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's when we're here. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? JC, the producer. James Montgomery, the Kool-Aid man. Our friendly neighborhood white man. Mike in Florida. Edward in Connecticut. Dennis the Menace in Boston. They're all here. And if you've got something to say and if you've got something on your mind, get on the phone. The number is 347-308-8701. Get on the phone. If you got something you want to talk about, if you got something going on with the new Black Panther Party that you want us to know about, get on the phone. I appreciate each and every one of you being on the show today and spending some time with us. Mary, did you want to say something before we left?
Mr. Qualley, I just wanted to personally
Let's put him back on. Sean Qualley, you're there.
I just wanted to personally thank you for coming back on the show, and I hope that we'll be able to do this again.
We have to do this again because there's so much left unsaid. I want to say to the listening audience, thank you for listening to all of the staff there. Thank you for having us on. Even if we don't agree, we can learn to disagree without it getting too crazy. I say I'm coming back. We got to do a part two. Y'all tune into NewBlackPanther.com and Black Power Radio as we're going to keep the fire on. We cannot let the legacy die. And Mary, remember, if you're going to be a white woman that wants to see the justice in the utopian society that you're talking about, give us some Marilyn Buck action. It's black power for black people.
Mr. Quali, yeah. Everything I do in my life on a daily basis, and moment to moment, I live and I breathe for equality for everybody, and I promote that everywhere and anywhere I go.
Well, bring us the head of that grand dragon.
Thank you again, Mr. Quali. We appreciate your time. Folks, again, thank you for being a part of our show. It's Reese on Radio weeknights, Monday through Friday. You guys have a great weekend. Republican National Convention.
I want to see if Michelle Williams is going to put her foot on somebody's neck.
Come on.
All the humanity.